Good stuff. So, I would like you to think of something precious that you own, something irreplaceable, some kind of object. So not a person, because obviously if you think of the list of things that are most precious to you, you'd probably say that people are more precious than items. I want you to think of an item that is most precious to you in the world. Don't worry, I'm not going to go around and rob you or anything like that. But it's just kind of think. Anyone got any ideas? Anyone want to tell me something that's really precious? What's precious to you? Yes. Okay, yes. Donningstown Football Club is a good one. Sorry, I'll come over here. What's precious to you? Your Bible. Fantastic. Whoa. Oh, yeah. I'm liking this. Very good. Okay. So, you might kind of think that something precious to you, you would not lend to anybody. You would not let anybody have it. So I want you to think, would this precious thing that you've got, would you let somebody else look after it? It might take a bit of thinking, so I'll go to the next slide. So let me give you some examples. Say, for example, you're going to go on holiday somewhere, go down to the beach, and that's in a few months' time. So you think, right, I'm going to save up some money so that I've got some holiday money to spend when we go around the shops and stuff. So you save and you save and you save, and then it comes to the day when you're going to go to the shops. I'm like, yes. But then you've got that dilemma. I'm probably going to put the money down somewhere. I'm probably going to lose it. I need someone responsible to look after it for me. So would you let your brother look after your money for you? Oh, there's some heads shaking already. No. Okay. How about your favourite soft toy? Look at this chap. Aww. Would, say for example, there's some swings. You think, I need both my hands. I can't hold my soft toy at the same time. Would you give your sister the soft toy? Can you look after this soft toy while I go on the swings? Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe you think they're really, really responsible. How about, say for example, there's this ice cream van that kind of comes down the road and you see an ice cream van. You buy the ice cream and then you think, really need a wee. Would you say, brother, would you hold on to my ice cream while I just for 2 minutes? You know, you might kind of come back and they might say, well, it was melting a bit, so I had to do something about it. Okay, how about this one? He's ours, he's a bit bigger now. A new kitten. Say for example, you're gonna go around a friend's house for the whole day and you're kind of like, I can't leave the kitten on his own. Brother, sister, would you look after my new kitten? Would you feed the kitten? Make sure he doesn't kind of get out and get into mischief and climb up the curtains and get stuck and things like that. So we were kind of wondering about how something so special will we trust that to look after for somebody else to look after it. Now, for me, I think this is probably my most precious possession because I've been doing kind of youth ministry for 14 years and it's got everything on there, discussion starters, talks, resources, all sorts of things. So if something was to happen to that, it's kind of all the effort and all the time that's gone into it over the years would kind of be lost. And I'd think, oh my goodness, that's so useful. It would be lost forever. So would I ever lend it to someone? I might lend it to Debs, but everybody else, no way, no. Not saying that everybody else is like can't use a computer, but you know, it's just too precious. So it's just the thought of everything going into all that inspiration for it to be gone would just feel like such a waste. Now, the bit we read in the Bible was when Jesus was just finishing his time on earth, and this plan that God had to save mankind had been accomplished. He'd shown people God's love, he'd told them about God's love. He'd taught them so much stuff about how God's word is not just following rules, it's beyond that. It's about a heart attitude of loving God and loving others. And then we know that he died on a cross to pay for all of our wrongs. And then he won eternal life for us, where he rose from the dead. And there was this power over sin, power over death. Something incredible had happened. This is just like this amazing gift that we've been given, and this amazing sacrifice, a powerful thing. But then he says this, you've got to tell other people about it, otherwise they're never going to know. See you later. And it's kind of like, my goodness, this powerful, precious thing that God has done for the whole of mankind, He then entrusts it to his disciples and said, the people here right now, they've got to know about this. And this precious thing that he'd done, he wants us to tell other people. And so there's this, go, make disciples of all nations. This is your job. This is for the disciples to do, and now it's passed on to us as well. And it's interesting, really, because some people in other churches, not here, but they might kind of say, well, about making disciples, it's the minister's job. The minister's job is to make disciples. He's the fella. Now, I was kind of thinking about this, and I've got a Facebook account, you know, social media, where you've got friends and stuff, and I think I've got about 300 friends. That's really impressive. But I know that other people have got more friends, other people have got less friends. But if we were to compare the friends that I've got with what other friends have got, if they had the same friends, they've probably got about 20% of the friends that I've got, and then they've got 80% of other friends that I haven't got. And so this kind of shows us that the Great Commission wasn't just for Peter, James and John. It wasn't for kind of the big guys. It was for all of the disciples, including Thomas and everybody. So it was kind of for us all, because there's so much more of a reach that every one of us has got. So the minister is just part of the jigsaw puzzle of the Great Commission. Now, you might kind of say, well, I'm not really much of a speaker. I'm more of a thinker. You know, I like to think about things a lot. I'm not very good up front at speaking. But actually, this Great Commission involves ideas. It involves problem solving. It involves all sorts of planning and things like that, where somebody's part of that Great Commission jigsaw is to do that. Okay, how about this then? Maybe you're the sports dude. You know, you might say, I'm really not very much of a gifted speaker. But actually, sporty people might be drawn in because of the sporty stuff that sports dude is doing. So it's a really, really important part. Okay, you might just say, well, actually, I'm quite quiet. And when I was at school, people always used to say to me, why are you so quiet? Why don't you ever say anything and stuff? And yeah, I'm a bit different now. But the thing is that sometimes quiet people have got something so much to say in maybe a small group setting or something like that. It's about finding our part, our calling in this Great Commission. Okay, how about people? There's some people who just get involved. They do whatever needs to be done. You know, Jesus said about that we need to be servants and we need to kind of serve other people. It's kind of this joint role of the Great Commission. Maybe you talk a lot. Fantastic. I notice some people, they try to get the gospel into every kind of conversation. So, you know, they might be talking to a friend and the friend said, yes, we went out for wine and cheese the other day. And they might say, well, you know what rhymes with cheese? Jesus. And, you know, some people try and fit it into every conversation. That's not quite what I'm talking about. It might be like something really amazing happened. There's this really amazing testimony. Or you might kind of say, well, I was at church the other day and this happened. And it's just a general kind of gossiping the gospel about different things that God is doing. Maybe you're right, really into your phone. It's part of your hand. You're always there. Social media is just such a great thing for sharing people about what's going on with the Great Commission and how other people can be involved. Maybe you're kind of a bit disturbed with a drill and you can do creative things. You can do set design and things like that. You know, innovators, practical people, all part of this Great Commission. You know, some people think, you know, if I'm not telling everybody about Jesus, I'm not doing this Great Commission. Part of it is being involved where your gifts lie. And then other people, just the life and soul of the party, they just bring atmosphere to, you know, social occasions and things like that. Every person of us is needed, as we're all kind of part of the puzzle, pieces that all fit together for this Great Commission, that as we go and make disciples, every person is part of it. Now, I was reading the other day about Moses and how God called him. This is a very similar situation where God calls us, where he says, go, do this thing. But then he says, I am with you. He says to Moses, I am with you. Because Moses has a lot of excuses. And, you know, it might kind of be, well, actually, am I really qualified to do this? Am I good enough to do this? And God says, go, I'm going to equip you. And you might kind of say, well, I'm not really a leader. I will be the one who's leading through you, says God. I don't really know what to say. God says, I'll give you what to say. And this is the thing about the Holy Spirit, that he didn't leave us alone. He gave the Holy Spirit in order that we can fulfill the calling that he's given to us. Because we don't go on our own. It's so much friendlier with two. The Holy Spirit is there. And he just, as we rely on him, he enables us to do everything. So, what is your calling? What is it that God's called you to do? The stuff inside, but also, he says, go. The stuff outside that we have to do. And for the stuff outside that's a bit scary, he says he's with us. For the stuff inside, I don't know how many of you became Christians through things that happened in the church. It's such a key place where things happen. But also, there's people outside of the church sort of sphere who we can speak to as well. Anyway, the question is, what is your calling? What is your part in the piece of this puzzle? Where are you in the whole plan of his great commission? Let's just pray for a moment. Father God, thank you so much that you said, I am with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I thank you, Lord, that you really want us to tell other people about this amazing sacrifice that you have made, in that you gave everything for us in order that this could happen. So I just pray, Father, would you just confirm the calling within Murrilin Parish and outside as well. Thank you for all the things that we do. We've got teachers, we've got doctors, we've got engineers and all of that. And that's just such a great reach of how you can connect people to come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.